97.5, The Fanatic.
Calvin Klein. Oh my God, he's a dream.
I'll get it back to you, all right?
That's classic, man. So right there, first of all, you know, big trees do fall hard. You hit them right, you cut them right, and they will fall hard. That right there where he starts, where he takes the kid's skateboard, broke it, and it was like a skateboard with a handle, though. And he starts to ride. That's where I was saying I was on the Universal lot, right around there where the park and stuff is across the street and all of that. And it was hilarious when she's saying, when she is saying, Leah Thompson says he's a dreamboat. That's too funny when she's talking about her son, right? It's crazy.
You can't get past the awkwardness of the mother-son combination in that movie. It's rough.
It's too funny, man. But yeah, but again, Thomas Wilson is Biff. He's Biff forever. He is Biff.
It's difficult to go from hate the face to like the hero.
He was in The Heat with Melissa McCarthy and Sandra Bullock. He was in Heat. I didn't even realize that. I didn't know he was in SpongeBob SquarePants. What is this, the movie or something? Yeah, the movie. I didn't know Biff was part of the movie. Man, what else was he in? Action Jackson. You ever see Action Jackson with Vanity?
I'm 3 for 3 on seeing these movies, and I'm 0 for 3 of remembering him.
I didn't see him in that one. I don't remember. I was too busy looking at her anyway, so I don't know. And, you know, Carl Weathers, Craig T. Nelson, Sharon Stone, Bill Duke. I didn't realize he was in that one, but now we go all over the place. Vanity, she was it back in the day. that's too funny. What else was he in? The Informant. I didn't watch the whole Informant with Matt Damon, so I don't know what he was doing in there. Health Inspector with the Larry the Cable Guy, Health Inspector, he was in that.
If I told you the night was going to end looking at Biff's IMDb page, what would you say?
What's wrong with your Friday night? That's what I would say. That's what I would say. Yeah, 610-632-0975. We are broadcasting from the Xfinity studio, only from Comcast. I'm Devon Givens with Josh Rabick until 10 o'clock on this 4th of July weekend, Friday night. I promise to tell you, Black Gritty, hang on, we're going to get to you in a second. I promise to tell you about 7-6 Day, which is coming this Monday. 97.5 The Fanatic is helping the Sixers celebrate their day on the calendar. NBA insiders and special guests from the 76ers will join us throughout the day and win some awesome 76ers autographed prizes every hour starting at 7 a.m. We will have a Fanatic tent and crew in our West Lobby parking lot handing out 76ers t-shirts to people who simply drive by and ask for one. That is starting at 7 a.m. as well. Right outside on Belmont, the West Lobby parking lot, handing out 76ers t-shirts. Just look for the Fanatic tent. 7-6 Day on the Fanatic is powered by Parks Casino and Sportsbook. The number one casino in Pennsylvania is back open with plenty of space for social distancing. Must be 21. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. I think I'm on the morning show Monday sometime as a guest. And then, of course, I'll be doing the show 6 to 10 on Monday night. And I'm still awaiting word on a guest for them. It's not going to be Roy Henson. I'm not going to bother him on 7-6 Day, but we will see what happens overall. 610-632-0975. By the way, with McCormaker, however you want to call it, I looked up the schedule. Howard was 4-29 last year overall. Of course, 4-29, not very good, right? Typically, you get guys that go to these schools with winning percentages, and that's a 1-2-1 winning percentage. It's not very good. Here are some of the teams. Mike asked us a little bit earlier, who do they play? They started off with the District of Columbia, Washington, Adventist, George Washington, Notre Dame, Robert Morris at Toledo, at Marshall, and again, this was at Notre Dame on ESPN3. Ball State at Ball State, at American University, Jamie Lynch's alma mater. Mount St. Mary's at Hampton versus Appalachian State. Regent University, they blew them out, 105-47. Harvard, Penn, Maryland Eastern Shore, Bethune-Cookman, Norfolk State, South Carolina State, Morgan State, Yale, Florida A&M, Coppin State, Morgan again. These are the teams in their conference. North Carolina A&T State, North Carolina Central, Bethune-Cookman, Dell State. All right. Would you go to Delaware State and watch Howard to see what McCorr is doing, Josh?
I would. Yeah, I mean, it's probably also a lot more intimate of, like, an atmosphere as well to watch them play there than going to, like, you know, obviously one of these bigger schools.
Indiana, CMS, South Bend. Yeah, no, 100%. I agree with you, totally. And again, Howard's not far a ride for us because you just go up there in the D.C. area and take that trip. But if you just go to Delaware and go to Dell State, yeah, that place would be packed.
Well, and you know it, too. When you get into some of these smaller gyms and everyone there is jazzed up, it gets loud. There's nowhere for that noise to escape.
All you need is a good game out of it or just a very good game from him individually, and you'll get it. But this is good for historically black colleges. This is good. It's good to see. 610-632-0975. Let's go to Black Gritty as promised in Glassboro here on the Fanatic. What's up, Black Gritty?
Earth Angel. And then they roll right into Johnny B. Good. Let me tell you something. That's one of the greatest prom dance scenes back to back. You got the greatest slow song in the world.
No
and then
question.
They kick it up a notch. My man with his broke head calling his cousin stealing music. How you gonna play somebody's song over the phone? No. It was amazing. Great movie.
Yeah, it was a great movie, man. Great movie. Like I said, Grit, I was saying to Josh, now I want to go home and watch it.
Oh, you can always watch it. I mean, I got the kids, so that's one of the movies I throw on with the kid A once in the Blue Moon as a refresher course on in case we go back to the future. First thing we need, Apple stock. Second thing we need, lottery ticket numbers. And then we need to get rid of Sean Bradley and maybe shut Stephen A. Smith up, messing up my whole trade. We could have had the franchise over here with Allen Iverson.
I was waiting for that one, man. Go back and Penny or Chris Webber instead of Sean Bradley.
Oh, no, not even that. The Tracy McGrady trade where they were trying to get him from Toronto.
We had that one earlier. Yeah, someone called them with that one earlier.
Oh, man. Hold on. Back to the Future. Give me that for real. We need that. Get one chip out of AI for Bubba Chuck. I want to talk about the current day Sixers. And the Pacers. Every time I hear anything about the Pacers, it makes me so sad that we don't have a good coach. Give Trey me 3 first-round picks for the next 3 years and give me the Pacers coach, and I guarantee you we will be the first or second seed in the East with a system, players developing. I just want a real coach. That dude could coach down there. So I'm not really scared of the Pacers, especially with Oladipo out, but, I mean, it would be a tough go for us because they're well-coached. They have a great system down there. And I need a coach like that.
Nate McMillan, he's done a nice job with that Indiana team, especially when they
with
start
no
losing
talent.
People. Yeah, they start losing people.
I mean,
but they've put together, Kevin Pritchard has done a nice job putting that team together from the front office, and Nate has done a fantastic job coaching them. And then when you bring in someone like Malcolm Brogdon, finding Sabonis that deal with Oladipo from Oklahoma City, making sure he was playing like that lottery guy and all-star this year. Miles Turner, getting T.J. Warren, who we knew as a scorer from NC State to Phoenix, but it just wasn't working. He goes to Indiana, still shooting a lot, but that's what they got him for. And it's all working out.
Yeah, when you say it like that, something like having a good GM and a good coach, I mean, things could just turn around for a franchise. Anywhoozy, have you ever had a double RR burger from Roy Rogers?
Yes.
Man, that's my jam. I throw that back every once in a while, too. For people that don't know, listen, that's when you throw ham on top of the hamburger and ball out, you fall out like a fat boy, because that's how I do it in these streets. All right, brother, have a good show. Happy 4th of July.
You too,
have
man. Be safe, man. I love that he came in with the Earth Angel from the dance. I love it. I love it. Roy Rogers. Of course, you get those when you're on the turnpike. But if anybody's listening, and I know my cousins are listening, was that a Roy Rogers that we used to have on City Line? Where the Wendy's is now? I think it was a Roy Rogers because there was a There was a Popeyes on the corner where St. Joe's is now, across from the parking lot where the gymnasium is. But I want to remember that there was a Roy Rogers across the street where the Wendy's was before they built the Wendy's, I think. And maybe they'll text me and let me know. But I think that was a Roy Rogers. I believe so, yeah. Roy Rogers, yeah. It's tough. Yeah. Now, again, it's great for the turnpike. Now, I actually had Josh look up Fat Burger during the break. All right, so you saw the splash photo on, you saw the splash page and you saw the photo on there. And I told you that looked exactly like what a Fat Burger is. What did you think?
Not going to lie, I look pretty good.
There you go. Trying to tell you.
I'm not putting it over In-N-Out just yet. We need to have the taste test.
I know you have to have the taste test. I'm just saying, just from the photo, right? Just from the photo, it looks tremendous.
What I need to do is I need to have a Food Network marathon so I can test this out and I can come back and I can articulate to you properly how I like each burger and what I rate it as.
All right.
Because right now, I'm just like, yeah, it's really good. Why is it good? I don't know. It tastes good. That's my review. That's all I got.
I don't know. It tastes good. That's all you need, really. That's all you need, to be perfectly honest with you. 610-632-0975. Let me see. I'm trying to see what Cherry Hill Chuck is talking about. He and Karate Mark in the Dream Team. Michael Keaton and Christopher Lloyd in the Dream Team. And Cherry Hill Chuck says, one of my favorite movies as a kid. I don't know that movie. Yeah, I don't know this movie, but okay. Okay. Here's Bill, B-Dubs, 74. Draft Paul Pierce instead of Larry Hughes. We had to take Dirk instead of Larry Hughes. All right. Phillies draft Frank Thomas instead of Jeff Jackson. I don't know a Jeff Jackson, but I definitely know who a Frank Thomas is. He's doing these weird commercials right now in the weight room. It's like some stuff. I don't know what it is. You know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah, every time I take a men's multivitamin, it's starting to go down that path. I think about Frank Thomas every morning.
Know. Yeah. At least he wasn't in that documentary as one of those guys, right? When they were talking about McGuire and Sosa.
And they left our boy Griffey out for good reason.
Absolutely. Give him his own documentary and just, you know, leave him out of that stuff, which they did on MLB Network, which we still cannot find the replay because I want to see it. Dargan Franks 3 says, my sports thing would have been Laurie and Reed together in a room, making them come together and paying T.O. Dargan, that was mine when we started this whole thing off. I would get in that DeLorean. We would go back to 2005 after the Super Bowl and fix it. Fix it. Fix it. Fix it. Keep Donovan out of it. T.O. Lori, Banner, and Reed, fix it.
We're both trying to go to the same year. You just drop me off at the center. I'll drop you off over by the link and we'll figure it out.
That's it. That's it. Seriously, man. Brylo's mom says, walk Joe Carter. Walk Joe Carter? Fair enough. Yes, Charles. Yep. So when I was talking about the other guard that was a coach in one of these schools, it was Mo Williams, former All-Star Mo Williams. At Alabama State. Alabama State. Thank you, Chuck. I appreciate it. Thank you. That's exactly what I was talking about. Yep. Can I make Ryan not tear his Achilles? Oh, Zachary is saying go back and Ryan Howard not tear his Achilles after he struck out when they lost to the Cardinals.
You know when there's great moments for each of our Philly sports teams, like where they have this era where they're really good, that was the moment where you kind of knew it was almost over. Where now, you just saw it and you didn't want to admit it.
That's my point, right? Was it already over, though? Was it going to be over, Josh? Was it going to be over? You know what I'm saying?
At the time, I denied it, but it ended up kind of being it.
It might have been. Coach underscore G14, Adam says, kept Cliff Lee and traded Don Brown for Roy Halladay. Don Brown, he was untouchable. He was their young prospect. They didn't want to move him under any circumstances. And I get it, because I was with you. We had a Cliff Lee one earlier. You do not trade Cliff Lee, especially. Why are you trading one when you're getting the other one? Make it work. What are you doing? Why do you trade the other one? Oh, man. Oh, come on. Bad memories. Don't trade for Lindros. That's what we're getting here. Let me see. We already said what Tanya pointed out. Mikey Williams and DeJuan Wagner, DJ, are top three players of the 23 class. It would be amazing if they played together at an HBCU for their 1 year of college. That's the trials of MAP. Marcus, good stuff, Marcus. Good to hear from you again, man. Haven't heard from you in a while. Let me see. This other one. Yeah, Mikey Williams. I mean, now we're getting it from a few people. Marcus gave this one to me. DQ be knowing, says Mikey Williams. Thanks, DQ. Appreciate that one. Take Tatum at one. I mean, is this a debate? That's from Joseph. Phil of Love, 118. Giving T.O. his money after the Super Bowl season. Bird Dominic, again, 100%. I agree with you there. We have a bunch. I think about Pascal Siakam a ton when talking about these terrible late first, early second round picks. That's Brendan Doc on Twitter talking about Pascal Siakam. That's the year that they took Timothy Luwawu-Cabarrot and Furkan Korkmaz, 24 and 26. And Pascal Siakam went 27 to the Toronto Raptors, and the rest is history, as we know. What else do we have here? I'm running through all of these trying to get people in here. Mike and I, Mike 1, says take Tatum instead of Fultz. Got it. Know it. BCOS 89, Flyer Stanley Cup loss. That week A goal, Patrick Kane.
Oh, the heartbreaker of that is you look at Leighton, and Leighton knew it. You want to convince yourself that it didn't go in because you really couldn't tell besides Kane's reaction. But if you couldn't tell by Kane's reaction, looking at Leighton told you the entire story. He had that, oh, no, don't move. I can't believe that went past me.
Yep, absolutely. Jeff, Philly underscore sports 15, I would have never let Brian Dawkins leave Philly and put another jersey on. That man deserved better. So that was his. Moses Malone debacle. That's from JV27, trade for Ray Bourque. Good one. We got this a couple of times, so I have to mention it. Phil's Dodgers playoff 1977. Bruce Gillespie 5. I remove Lazinski from the game for defense with Jerry Martin. And that's that one. AJ, Girly Virgo 78. I would redo the throw to LJ Smith so that Rodney Harrison fell and LJ had caught it in the Super Bowl. Well, first of all, let's give you a backstory on AJ. Loves LJ Smith. So, but she's right. Donovan again. It was the B West play and the LJ Smith play.
What is she looking for? Like one of those Buffalo Wild Wings sprinklers to come up out of the field?
Hey, no, she's going into DeLorean, man. Going into DeLorean. When we talked about the Ray Lewis and Jermaine Mayberry one, DJ Josh Lee says the same exact thing. Here's a really good one. Eagles 5211, take DeMarcus Lawrence instead of Marcus Smith in the 2014 draft. You think?
I'd take a fat burger over him at this point, man. That was such a waste of a pick.
And it would be better. It would have lasted longer. 610-632-0975. Jameson in West Philly. What's up, Jay?
Hey, what's going on, Devon? How are you, man?
I'm doing all right, man.
Dude, let me tell you something, man. You do a really nice job.
Thank you.
You do a really nice job.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you.
I will say this. In my opinion, I think T.O. Terrell Owens, that is, was just bigger than Donovan at the time, and I think it was just too much for Donovan to handle. Like, it was, you know, he thought, oh, this is my team, you know, I'm going to lead us to the promised land, blah, blah, blah. But T.O., when he came here, he was larger than life, and he was, man, T.O. was bigger than Donovan, and I think that really bothered him. Who was the Dallas Cowboy that tackled him from behind and broke his leg or his ankle or whatever it was?
That was the safety Roy Williams.
Roy Williams, that's right. I'm telling you, man, when he came back, like, I mean, he, like, the dude deserved to be paid. You got to pay that man. You got to pay that man. He was bigger than Donovan, and he was our best player. He was such an impact guy. Like, that's, I understand. Like, and I love Jeffrey Lurie. I think he's a great owner. But that was a situation where it was extenuating circumstances. You got to pay that man. You got to pay that man.
Yes,
he earned it.
I agree with you. And again, Jay, that's the one that I brought up when we started this topic, that I would go back to 2005. And after he signed that waiver, played the way that he did, put his career on the line, right, jeopardizing things because of the foot and the ankle. And he deserved, I mean, he already had the contract. We know they gave him a contract, but rip that contract up, get that right. You come back with T.O. Donovan, B. West, L.J. Smith. I think they drafted, who did they draft that year? Reggie Brown or something like that? I think they drafted Reggie Brown.
Yeah, Reggie.
That would have been fine as like a number three guy or as a rookie coming out of the University of Georgia.
Sure.
The fact that the offensive line was the offensive line with Trey and Runyon and everybody returning, the defense still playing at a high level, you doggone right, they should have done that.
Yeah. No, I mean, I'm with you there.
Yep.
So Phillies this year, you know, 60-game season, interesting. I wonder if they're going to go to a 4-man rotation. Who knows? I
said that too, Jay. I was wondering if they would do something like that. Go ahead, explain why.
No, well, I mean, they should. They really should. I mean, it's going to be a shortened season. I mean, look, we all know what the back of our rotation looks like right now. Not very good. I mean, you got Eflin, you got Vince, you know, you got Pivetta. It's pretty much, and you know, do we need Jake Arrieta to bounce back or what? Like, seriously.
Without question.
Can he give us something this year? Can Arrieta give us something? We paid the man. Can we give him, can he give us something, please? You know?
Yeah, and you're talking about with him, let's just assume he's going to have maybe 12 starts max if you go off of a 5-man rotation?
Right, right.
He has to be somewhere in that seven. Let's just hope upon hope that he has that like 7 or 8 wins in those starts.
We certainly hope so. It's going to come down to those three guys. But and then Sixers, man. I think the situation right now benefits the Sixers big time because like the home court advantage thing is pretty much gone, right? I mean, are they going to paint logos of home teams in Orlando?
Well, they've already laid down the practice courts inside a ballroom in Orlando, so that's the practice course. But in terms of on the actual floor in the three arenas that they're using, three courts,
right.
From what I've been told, and I haven't read this or anything yet, but this is what I've been told, Jay, that we will see something that the teams will not see. The floor will be the floor, but what we will see will be a virtual logo for the home team on the floor.
Interesting. And as far as the fans go, like, are they going to? They're not going to have like simulated fans, are they?
No.
Are they going to be...
I don't know if they're going to use pump in crowd noise. Jay, listen, thanks for the call, man. Great stuff. Have a great weekend. I don't know if they're going to pump in crowd noise. You heard about the NBA 2K stuff that they would probably do. Maybe they'll incorporate like Zoom the way that was happening. And also you start reading things about cardboard cutouts as well. You can put your, I don't know. We'll see how it goes. But we'll come right back, take a quick break. 610-632-0975. Continue with all of the things that we've been talking about. Plus, Josh and I will finally give our other DeLorean moments to go back to. 610-632-0975. Devon Givens with Josh Rabick until 10 right here on The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
This is an oldie, but it's an oldie where I come from. All right, guys, listen, this is a blues riff and B. Watch me for the changes and try and keep up, okay?
There it is. I mean, one of the most memorable scenes, right? With Black Gritty, that was for you. As we talk about Back to the Future 35 years ago, debuted in 1985. 610-632-0975. Josh Rabick, Devon Givens, final segment as we take you up until 10 o'clock here on 97.5 The Fanatic. I will be back on Monday at 6 p.m., I believe, again, I'll be part of the morning show at some point with this 7-6 day. That's going to be fun. And if you follow the 76ers with everything that's going on, it starts 7-6 day, the summer 7-6 for the Philadelphia 76ers. Normally, we're getting ready for the beach bash. Free agency is already underway. We're dissecting everything. We're breaking it down. Man, we got to wait till October for a free agency on the 18th after the draft, which is the 16th. Crazy. This is wild stuff, man. Wild stuff. Can't wait to see what goes on in Orlando in the bubble, though. But we have baseball first. They're already underway. I think Bryce Harper is going to have a tremendous season. I think he took too much heat this year.
All right, let's go Phillies.
That's right. That's right. I think he took too much heat this year. Andrew McCutchen was very, very good on with the morning show. He was funny as always and a lot of insight. He apologized, Josh, to the fans for the players, basically, and maybe even Major League Baseball in general, but I think he was more apologizing for the players.
Let me tell you something, too. I lived out in Pittsburgh for a few years, and when I did, yeah, McCutchen was with the Pirates, and they adored him. And now that he's a Philly, and you get to see a lot of his personality and everything like that, heck of a ball player as well, you kind of get why they didn't want to see him go.
Yeah, MVP. MVP. Remember when they signed him here? That was the first signing, and we were like, well, is that all they're going to do when we talk about stupid money? Spending crazy money the way that Middleton was talking about? Well, that was the start. And then when you looked at the money, everyone was like, wait a second. You're giving Andrew McCutchen. He's not Andrew McCutchen from the Pirates anymore. How are you going to give him all that money? $40-plus million dollars for 3 years or whatever it is. 3 years, I think it is. How are you going to give him all that money? Well, when he was on the field, it looked like a good deal. It looked like a really good deal. So, Josh and I wanted to give another Back to the Future Philadelphia sports moment. If we can get into the DeLorean and go back and change something. I'm going to go back to 2009, October through November, the Phillies are back in the World Series. I was with Charlie Manuel when the question was, do I take Pedro out? I was with Charlie Manuel. I wanted him to keep him in. You were getting the best you were going to get from Pedro for this is what he was out there for. He's playing this well. Remember, he was brought in very late. What was it, August? Brought in very late as a late pickup because they needed him for the rotation. He played well. He was dealing. He was dealing in that game. All right? He was dealing. And I'm like, game two? All right. Okay. I think the score was, that was game two, right? Yeah, I think it was game two. But anyway, Phillies lost 3-1. They were in the sixth inning. I mean, they were in the second inning. Phillies score one. Yankees score in the fourth. Pedro is just rolling. Right? Pedro is rolling. All of a sudden, it started unraveling. And the question was, all right, these guys, they got a couple of hits. Do we take them out now? Do you go ahead and make that move? Do you take Pedro out? I'm like, no. Let him get out of this. He's going to get out of this. Let him get out of it. I was wrong. Charlie should have taken Pedro out. You go to the bullpen. At that time, I think it was what? Scott Ayer, Chan Ho Park, Ryan Matson, of course, Brad Lidge, but Brad Lidge not in that moment. You had to take him out. I was wrong. I look at the numbers. He struck out 8. AJ Burnett was opposite Pedro. He went 7. Pedro went 6. 6 hits. But the hits, once again, everything didn't come until late. He struck out 8. Walked 2. I'm sitting there, 107 pitches, 72 strikes. I thought, Pedro's at the end of his career. I'm like, this is a Pedro moment. This is great for Philadelphia baseball. This is going to go with the storyline. Cliff Lee was tremendous in game one, right? They won 6-1. Chase Utley was just on fire that entire series. Chase Utley was great in that series, right? And I'm like, all right, Chase Utley's on fire. This thing is just coming together. He's got 5 home runs in the series. In game one against the Yankees when they won 6-1, Chase Utley was 2 for 2, 2 runs, 2 hits. No, he wasn't 2 for 2. He had 4 at-bats, 2 runs, 2 hits, 2 RBI. And he hit 2 home runs in that game off of CC Sabathia. 2 home runs off of CC Sabathia. I'm like, oh, Cliff Lee is rolling too. Remember the behind the back catch or whatever it was? The two things. Cliff Lee was dealing. And in game two, I'm like, yo, these guys are going to take, they're going to take 2 from the Yankees in New York. That is my one. I was wrong. Charlie Manuel was wrong. If I had to go back, I would go back to 2009 against the Yankees, game 2, October 29th, and I would have removed Pedro Martinez from the game. The Phillies did not win another game until game 5. They lost in game 6. Yankees win the World Series 4-2. Yes. And by the way, Cole Hamels stunk in that series. Josh, do you have your other one? I gave you that one. So I went football. I stayed away from basketball and went football.
You just segued into it.
Oh, yeah, that was yours?
Oh, yeah. So obviously, okay. I look at the Phillies there, and that Phillies-Yankees World Series, it's one of those where you go, oh, I really wish the Phillies got another one.
Yes.
They were too good for too long to only get one.
Yes.
They were the best team in baseball if you count it from 2007 to 2012-ish area. That stretch, put all the years together, they were the best. For me, it was because Cole Hamels admitted he didn't train as much as he should have after the 2008 World Series. I would have gotten a hold of him sometime in beginning December, maybe, of 2008. Let's get back to work.
No more appearances.
Yeah, one of the biggest problems was he was a fastball changeup pitcher. He had really two effective pitches when he was lights out in 2008. The problem was when he came back in 2009, he needed to develop that third pitch, and it became very evident that he couldn't throw that curveball for a strike consistently. And that was probably the biggest problem that you saw between 2008 to 2009. And then when 2010 came around, all of a sudden that curveball was landing, and you said, man, if we had that guy, they had a lot better of a chance, because then you can put him and Lee out there probably five times. You can probably do Lee on short rest for game seven.
Yes.
And you're like, good luck beating those guys the amount of times you need to win that series.
But again, if he wasn't as bad as he was in game three, right? Look, they lost 8-5. They lost 8-5. They gave eight runs to the Yankees. Five should have been enough in that game against the Yankees to win that one. Right? Five should have been enough. They put up, and here's why I say that, because they spotted them three early. Philly's got three runs in the second inning. Second inning. All Cole Hamels had to do was go out there and beat Cole Hamels. He gave up two in the fourth, three in the fifth, one in the sixth. They went on one in the seventh, one in the eighth, and they lost 8-5. He had to beat Cole Hamels. They gave him a three-run cushion to start things off. Find yourself early and coast to at least the seventh inning.
I know, and it's almost like the butterfly effect. You're not sure if you move this to this, if that changes what would have actually happened.
Mm-hmm.
But I look at it as, I thought Pedro's first start in the World Series was pretty good. And if you kind of slide him into where Cole got shelled and you put more of an ace-like arm that can go much deeper in the game than Pedro could have at that point in his career.
In game three?
Yeah.
Okay, so game two, 2 days later, put him in long relief for Cole Hamels?
Well, what I'm saying is, if all of a sudden you have Pedro more in Cole's spot and Cole...
And three.
Yeah.
Oh, Cole is two. Right. Cole was supposed to be two. You are Cole Hamels after what you did in 2008. You are supposed to be starting game two. Pedro is supposed to be three. So if you didn't play well in two, all right, you're on the road. It got away from you. Fine. Pedro gives you that performance at Citizens Bank Park with your home crowd behind you. You probably win that game. To your point, I hear you. I hear you. I hear you. 610-632-0975. That's a great one. Cole Hamels, terrible. And then he said, man, I just can't wait for the season to be over. That really turned people on him. When he said, and he won people back later on, like Josh was talking about, 2010, and then of course you get Roy Halladay, then eventually you get Cliff Lee back, Roy Oswalt, Joe Blanton. When he said, I can't wait for the season to be over, people lost their minds. 610-632-0975. Before we get back to the phones, let me give you a couple of these tweets here. Suave Capo Rami, a couple of hours ago, when we put this question out there, getting into the DeLorean, going back in whatever year it is for you, switching something up in Philadelphia sports history, he said, if I could go back, I changed that 2008 NFC Championship game. First half, we put ourselves in a hole and almost climbed back to a win. Would have beat the Steelers in that Super Bowl. Remember, the Cardinals were the opponent in that 2008 on the road. Donovan played terribly in the first half. The defense did all they could. Second half, Donovan was on fire. The defense gave up the lead. I think Deshaun scored in that one. I don't even remember, but I just know Deshaun scored. Donovan was great in the second half, but you needed to play two halves. Two halves, and the defense didn't do their part late. Donovan got the ball back, but the defense didn't do their part late. They couldn't hold things up for them in order to walk away with that one. King Ocho 215, I would make McNabb and T.O. get along back in the day. Yeah, King Ocho, that was mine. Yeah. So, here's a good one. Paul Lasky 8. letting Jeremiah go, replacing him with LeVon Kirkland. Jared Vicious is still running. All right, let me take you back to this one because I remember where I was when this news came down. You remember when they tagged Trot and they were trying to work on a contract. Trot was already one of the best middle linebackers in the NFL. He deserved that new deal. He got it. He got it from Washington. I was at a Sixers game, and I remember the news coming up. At that time, I think I had a sidekick, y'all. T-Mobile sidekick. Yeah, I think I had a T-Mobile sidekick. I think at that point, that was it too. Back then, you had a sidekick. You were like, yeah, had a sidekick. So I was sitting at the game. It comes across, and I'm sitting there like, oh my goodness, because I had season tickets. Season tickets. The girls and their mom got me season tickets for my birthday. So I had a 10-game plan. And I'm at the game, and it comes up on my phone that the Eagles had removed the tag from Jeremiah Trotter, making him an unrestricted free agent. I'm sitting there like, what? And the technology, even though I was cool with the sidekick, we don't get the information like we did. I mean, like we do now. Back then, even though I had a cool sidekick, that stuff wasn't flowing through the information like I wanted it to. So I had to sit there that entire game, focus on the Sixers, and then try to figure out what's going on. Trot finally signed quickly with the Washington squad, man. And the good part about it, now being in this business, this is why, you know, of course I love what I do, talking to everyone, but then now having a relationship with these guys, while I would do the pregame show with Michael Bradley and Jeremiah Trotter for 2 years, and me and Trot have a relationship, and we talk about that stuff, he was like, man, I was hot. I'm sorry I brought it up because I can't tell the full story. But it's a great one. Oh, man. Paul, that's a great one. Had to keep Trot, man. Had to keep Trot. Here's a good one. D_Gunner239. Danny, James, we're coming to you in a second. Trade up to get Earl Thomas. You don't have to trade up to get Earl Thomas, Dan. We love Brandon Graham now. All you had to do was take Earl Thomas. You traded up, to your point, and you took Brandon Graham. When that trade happened, Danny, we thought they were trading up and getting Earl Thomas. It's like, oh, Eric Berry's already gone to the Chiefs? Cool. Earl Thomas still available? We'll take him. Not so much. Not so much. All right, here's the last one before we get to the phones. John Kellerman, a minute ago. A healthy Tim Kerr in the 87 Stanley Cup Finals, and the Flyers defeat the Edmonton Oilers. I don't know, but
you want to know my problem with that?
Yeah.
It took Hextall playing out of this world, and like obviously we're talking rookie season Hextall, who did everything but stand on his head,
yep,
to keep them in that series. Edmonton was by far a better team. That it was like it took just this ungodly performance by Hextall to keep them in it. Those Oilers teams were the best teams of the decade. We can say what we want, but it's like, yeah. I mean, if everything was equal in net, they get swept.
And by the way, in that 2009 World Series, Hideki Matsui, come on, him and Chase going blow for blow, basically.
He was something. And what also hurt was A-Rod had some big hits, and A-Rod was known for choking in the playoffs. And yeah, and that's one of those unexpected sources of offense that you usually didn't get from him in the playoffs.
Yeah, so after we take our phone calls with James and everyone else, I'm going to give you a 76ers DeLorean moment for me. All right, let's go to James in Center City next on The Fanatic. What's up, James?
Yo, what's going on, Devon?
How you doing, man?
I'm good, man. Hey, listen, you do a really nice job, man. I just want to let you know that.
Much appreciated. Thank you, man.
First of all, want to show some love to the Axeman, Trotter. I mean, amazing. One of my favorite Eagles of all time.
Yeah.
And obviously Dawkins. I mean, you know, those two guys, that defense, that Jimmy Johnson defense was just so good. I mean, it really was. I mean, it was the heart and soul of the team. And, you know, Donovan, all he had to do was put up 20 points a game and we would win, you know. It was a different time back then, but it's a different NFL today for sure. But
yeah,
those guys, man, they played some ball, didn't they, Devon?
Yes, they did, man. And in that Tampa series, that Tampa game, man, things might be different, right? Joe Jaravicius may not have gotten out. Listen, Trotten is not covering wide receivers like that, but the game overall might have been different in general, right? The outcome could have been different. The game differently at that point. Something would have happened with him in that game.
I agree. I was at that Carolina game, man. It was painful, man. I mean,
Seminole getting run over by Deshaun Foster.
I mean, you know, and that's why, and I'm going off script right now, but that's why I was always kind of an anti-Reed guy, because he just seemed to not have the right game plan in the biggest of moments. And you know, and I'm glad he got his Super Bowl, and I'm glad he won his, but, in the biggest moments, man, did we come up short or what? Like,
biggest moments. You think about that one with Seminole, Deshaun Foster. You think about in that game as well, Ricky Manning Jr. becoming like an all-pro.
He earned
that contract off that game. And you can also point out when Donovan got speared with the ribs. And that's what prompted them to go and get T.O. because the wide receivers did not help him enough. He had the rib issue. We don't know what was going on because I don't even remember. I never even asked Trey about this. When he got hit and his ribs were all busted up, I don't remember anybody really coming to help him up off the ground. But that Carolina game was terrible.
That was a really painful one for me. I mean, look, but at the same time, like, his best weapon was maybe Chad Lewis. I mean, what are we talking
Absolutely.
About?
Absolutely.
You know, I hate to say it's a joke, but it's kind of a joke. I mean,
yeah,
Chad Lewis. That's your best offensive. I mean, Westbrook, of course, but. Man, I mean, he did not have much to work with.
Yeah, and I know what you meant. You meant more of the aerial attack. And B. West, of course, caught his passes, fair share of passes, but running back, a versatile running back. But you're talking about the wide receivers and tight ends out of that group, and he was the best target.
For sure, for sure. So I heard you talking about the Phillies earlier. So this is my opinion, Devon.
Yes.
I think Charlie Manuel's biggest mistake as the Phillies manager was starting Pedro over J-Hap. And I think it was...
You talking about game two?
I forget now. Well, he started... Well, it was Cliff Lee won game one.
Yeah, game two, Pedro started, and he had that great start. He had 8 strikeouts, and we, of course, know what happened.
But... And then you had Pedro and you had Hamels, of course. But I would have started Hap over Pedro. I think, because when we got Pedro that year, he was at the very end of his career,
mm-hmm.
and he was meant to be a fill-in fifth starter. He was not meant to be a prominent, game 1, 2, 3 starter in the World Series. That's not what his role was supposed to be.
No, it was not. And that's why I got caught up in the moment, James, as I pointed out, when I said I was wrong. I thought he should have stayed in, because when were you going to ever get that type of performance from Pedro again? He gave it to you. It lasted through 6. And I was wrong by thinking that Charlie should have kept him in, which he did. And we know it turned out to be the wrong decision.
But I respect that, but he should have never been in there in the first place, in my opinion.
Now, fair enough.
In my opinion, Brandon Graham, I love Brandon Graham. I think he's a leader. I think he's a nice player for the Eagles. He's been around a long time. You know what? We could have got Earl Thomas, but you know what? I'm happy with Brandon Graham. I like him. I think he's a solid player.
No, he is. He's a great guy. Great interview. He's just a fun guy to talk to, fun guy to watch, and you hope he can still give you some production this year. Obviously,
can I ask you one more question, Devon?
Yeah.
So here's my question for you, and I would love to hear your answer on this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we talk about the greatest basketball players of all time. You know, you hear Jordan, you hear LeBron, blah blah blah. Why isn't Wilt in that conversation?
I think a lot of people separate, and I know Mike is one of these people, and he separates the big men from the other guys because it just almost seems unfair. We know Wilt is either number one or number two when it comes to those two. Those guys being all bunched up together in that way. I think that's what a lot of people do.
Yeah, I mean, so I'm a 1987 model myself. So I grew up, like, when I first started following basketball, it was when Jordan was playing the Jazz. And, man, I hated the guy because he was so good. He was so good. And now he's my favorite. Yeah. You know, I have a poster of him on my wall.
You miss him when he's gone. I love the guy. You miss him when they're gone. And the same thing with LeBron. James, thanks for the kind words, man. Great call. Have a great weekend. Really appreciate it. You miss him when they're gone. That's going to be the same thing with LeBron James. People hate LeBron James because he's great. Because he challenges Jordan. I'm a Jordan guy through and through, but I'm not foolish enough to not know that LeBron James is not the number two all-time basketball player out there. Kobe is in that conversation as well when it comes to, again, removing the big men. Hell, people know I can't stand Kevin Garnett. I'm not foolish enough to act like he can't play, though. He doesn't belong and have a place in history. All right, here's my 76er DeLorean moment. And this could be wrong, but this is how I felt back then. And even with the result, I still feel the same way. I could be wrong. 41-14, the Sixers were. Theo Ratliff breaks his hand. I did not want them to trade Theo Ratliff. I know you go get the Defensive Player of the Year. We know who Dikembe is. But it was even more than that because Theo was offensively playing very well, made the All-Star team. They were the best team in the Eastern Conference. And it was likely that he wasn't coming back. I know. I can't let it go, though, that's a DeLorean moment for me where I want them to keep him, not just for that time, but more for the long term, where we are speaking about Theo, Allen, Aaron, and whatever else they do to keep that team together, where you now go and you overpay Eric Snow, which you didn't have to. You still pay Aaron. Theo is probably going to have to be paid, but that's okay. Build the rest of the team the right way around him, and that thing works out. Nazi was playing well. I don't know that Nazi Muhammad and Todd McCullough could have carried that team until Theo came back. People questioned Theo. Was he tough enough? Because, you know, that was always a knock on him anyway. Was he tough enough? But what he would have done if he was healthy was pull Shaq away from that basket. What do you do then? You let Allen go crazy and go to work. Kobe's going to be on him, I know. But he still got his. He still got his. That might open it up for Aaron to do what Aaron does and get to the basket and his shots with the other defenders, Rick Fox and all those people. My DeLorean, 76ers moment, I go back. I don't do that trade. That team was just, with Theo, I know, one of those teams that was supposed to have the season that they had. And people always forget, this was me. Again, Tony Kukoc was playing well in a reserve role, someone who was also handling the ball. We know what his skill set was with Allen, with Aaron, Tony Kukoc on that team too. You just have a deeper basketball team when you lose George Lynch as well. Josh, this has been fun. I love the Back to the Future talk. Great movie. I'm going to go watch it this weekend now just because. And we appreciate all the calls, all the tweets that have jumped in, all the interaction all week. I'll be back on Monday at 6 o'clock, I think, on the morning show as well as a guest. So listen in for the morning show as always, but I'll be checking in there as well. So Josh, thanks so much. Great stuff as always. Really appreciate it. I'm sure you have the outro all queued up, ready to roll. And his dad is listening. My cousins are listening, so they're going to hear it as well. But Josh, have a great weekend. Everyone else, have a great weekend as well. I'll talk to you on Monday, maybe Monday morning, definitely at 6 o'clock right here on The Fanatic. Have a great weekend.
What's going on, everybody? This is Mikal Bridges from the Phoenix Suns.
1-point lead, and now Bridges with a steal. Down the lane, layup up and good.
And you listen to my cuz, Devon Givens, on 97.5 The Fanatic. V's up.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.